When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise be.
Good morning, everybody. It was great to meet Ketchup. That was the first time I met Ketchup. I just met him round the corner as well, and I asked whether he'd preach today, but apparently he won't. So it's, unfortunately, you've got me. But we'll have to get Ketchup on the roto. That's the first time I've met him. Look forward to meeting him in the future. So this morning's reading, we have John, the baptizer, the one who baptizes, and he's in prison. That's the context we have with John. Sorry, let me just get my clicker. Is there a slide? There we go. John is in prison. And the reason John is in prison is because Herod has married his sister-in-law, which sounds like something you'd get in EastEnders, isn't it? Somebody marrying their sister-in-law. Well, Herod, because of the kind of guy he is, he's, you know, big amount of power, big amount of ego, he decides that he doesn't like the fact that John is saying that this is wrong, that he shouldn't be, that John is saying Herod shouldn't be marrying his sister-in-law, and so John is locked up in prison. So in this context where John is in prison, John starts to ask questions, and he sends his disciples with a question for Jesus. Before we get to that question, let's just think about the relationship between John the Baptizer and Jesus. The first interaction they have is before they are even born, when they're still in the womb. You'll remember the story of the angel visiting Mary and saying, "You're going to have a baby." And also, your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant, even though she is in a ripe old age, because nothing is impossible with God. And Elizabeth and Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And as she walks through the door with this news, that Mary's going to be having a baby, we're told that Elizabeth's baby, which is John the Baptizer, who will become John the Baptizer, leaps in her womb. We have this leaping baby inside her womb. And so that relationship between John and Jesus starts even before they're born. There's a special connection they have. They both know that they're born for a certain purpose, and it's a really special time. And then the second interaction, at least the one, presumably they kind of grow up together, they're in the same family, but the second interaction we have within Scripture is when John is baptizing in the River Jordan, and lots of people are going to be baptized, and John says, "I'm preparing the way, there's somebody coming who's greater than me, and my job is to prepare the way for you to get your hearts ready to repent and be baptized." And then Jesus comes along and says, "John, you need to baptize me." And John says, "No, I can't baptize you." And Jesus says, "Yes, this is how it should be." So Jesus is baptized by John. So that's kind of their history. They have this history together. And John, within that, has a really clear sense of his role. John knows that his role is not to be the Messiah, but just merely to make way for the Messiah, get people's hearts in the right place. That's true for us as Christians, isn't it? Our job isn't to be Jesus literally to people, but to point people towards Jesus, to point people in that direction. And John knows that. He's got a clear sense of his own role, his own humility. And he knows that he's got that role, but here he is doubting. He sent his disciples, John sent his disciples to Jesus saying, are you really the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? He is questioning if Jesus really is the Messiah. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? Imagine you are organizing a party and you decide, in order to kind of make the party really swing, you're going to have an entertainer. And you've looked on the internet and you found a magician. You found Phil the magician. And it's about 250 quid for him to come to the for the night and entertain your friends. And he comes along and he does that kind of close-up magic, you know, where he'll say, okay, pick a card. Any card, don't show me. Look at that card. Okay. And then he'll go, is this your card? No, it's not. Okay. It's not great. So he has another go. Okay. Pick a card. Okay. And I want you to sit on that card. Okay, sit on that card. Okay. Is this your card? Have you even looked at the card?
Yes.
Yes, is that your card?
No.
No, okay. So it's not great. Can I have that back? Thank you. Okay, let's one more go. Okay, here we go. And in fact, I'll go to the back. Go to the back. Let's go to the back. Okay. Pick a card. Any card. Pick a card. Any card. Okay. Now, I want you to speak that card to me. Okay. Is it the seven of clubs? No. Okay. Now, by this point, you might be feeling a bit disappointed. You think, I've paid all this money for this magician to come, Phil the magician, and actually he's rubbish. And so you might go up to Phil after a few of these embarrassing attempts and say, Phil, are you the magician who is to come, or are you to expect someone else? Essentially, John's question is a bit of an insult, isn't it, really, to Jesus? Because it's saying, you know, are you really the one who is to come? And why is John doubting? Why is John in this place where he's doubting and he's questioning whether Jesus is really the Messiah? Well, I think there's something going on here about the expectation versus the reality. There's a disjoint between what John is expecting of the Messiah and the position he would be in and the way life would be when the Messiah comes versus the reality that he's in. And we all know what that's like, don't we? To have an expectation that's somewhere and then a reality that's actually somewhere else. Maybe you experience that if you go on holiday and you look in the brochure and you find this amazing place and you look at the photos and the swimming pool looks fantastic and the rooms look amazing. You book your holiday and, you know, maybe you've seen all these pictures online. And then you arrive there and actually the pool is tiny. Your room is kind of untidy and not very nice. And actually your expectation of what the holiday was going to be was up here. And the reality of what the holiday is down here. And that can lead to real disappointment. So we need not to be too hard on John, I think, with him asking these questions. Because, first of all, his expectation would be based on his Jewish faith and what the expectation of the Messiah would be. So there'd be all these things that these people have kind of built around their expectation of the Messiah, of what he would look like, the sort of things he would do. They probably wouldn't be expecting him, for example, to be friends with prostitutes. That's not what the Messiah would do. He wouldn't be friends with those kind of people, and he wouldn't do that kind of thing. So he doesn't look like the Messiah, perhaps. Secondly, we need to think about John is in the context of being in prison. And he probably thought, well, when the Messiah comes, then the prisoners will be set free. Not I would end up in prison. So there's these two things going on, his reasons for doubt. There's a false expectation of what the Messiah would be, and there's his current situation. So these two things. And I think we can suffer from these two things too. Perhaps you have a false you had a false expectation of what it would be like to be a Christian, what the Christian life would be like. Maybe you imagined rainbows and sunshine and a kind of a warm, glowing feeling. You know, you had a rainbow guitar strap, a nice flowing dress, and you were singing Graham Kendrick songs and the sun was beating down. And, you know, you had this kind of image of what the Christian life would be. It would be kind of like a continual spring harvest or new wine, and that's how your life would be. And actually, the reality of your life, day to day, isn't like that. And so your expectation was up here, and your reality is somewhere else. And you're thinking, is this Christian life all it's set up to be? Or perhaps you're at the moment in the place of facing real difficulties and real challenges. And actually you thought, As a Christian, my life shouldn't be like this. Surely if God's on my side, if God loves me, he wouldn't make me go through all these terrible things that I'm having to go through. So how does Jesus respond to John? John has all these questions and these doubts because of his situation and because of his expectations. And this is how Jesus replies. Jesus says, "Go back and report to John what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." Jesus' response to the question is to look. Look. Take a look at what you see. Go back and report what you see. I am doing kingdom stuff. I am bringing the kingdom. Go and tell John that. People are being healed, the dead are being raised, and the poor are hearing the good news. So the proof of Jesus being the Messiah is the difference he is making in people's lives. The difference he is making in people's lives. So that's the first thing. The proof that Jesus is the Messiah is that lives are changed. If Jesus is real, then lives change. And the proof of whether the Christian faith is real is that lives are changed. Not that lives are always happy and everything goes right for you and, you know, everything is a success. But that lives change, that things change because of Jesus. And I think there's two parts to this. The first is God's bit, and that's the bit we maybe think about first of all. We think about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We think about God's provision, God's protection, God's purposes, God's plans, God's promises. And that's the first bit, but there's also a second bit, and that's our bit. That's kind of our side of the deal, if you like, which is the changes that we need to make in our lives. The things we need to do to make God real in our life, to make our life change. And that is obvious things, perhaps, like coming to church, like reading your Bible, like praying, like meeting with other Christians and talking about your faith. The disciplines of life that aren't very exciting, perhaps. They could be, sometimes they don't feel very exciting. We have to just keep going with them. But that's part of how lives are changed. That's part of real faith. There's God's bit, yes, but there's also our bit. It's not just God zapping you and giving you a nice warm glow. It's about God being with you in the day-to-day reality. God working with you in the everyday reality of how things actually are, not just how you imagine them to be or how you hope they will be one day, but how they are right now. For it's about God working with you in the everyday reality. And it's not the sort of relationship between an engineer and a robot. It's the relationship, we're told through Scripture, between the Father and his children. It's a relationship between friends. So Jesus' response to John's question and doubt is to say, look at what God is doing. When we doubt, we should turn to Jesus, not turn away from Jesus with our doubts, but turn to him. You should go to him with your questions and your doubts. And then John's disciples are on their way to report this back. They've been to Jesus with a question from John, and they're on their way back to report to John in prison. And as they're leaving, Jesus says, so that they overhear, I think, Jesus says this. He says, John is a prophet, even more than a prophet. Among those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. So Jesus' response is to say, firstly, look at what I'm doing. Look at the way that lives are changed. Look at me, Jesus the King, bringing in the kingdom. But secondly, Jesus' response is to affirm John. Even though John is in prison, so that his ministry isn't happening, John is in prison, he still wants to affirm him. Jesus wants to affirm who John is. And Jesus, of course, wants to affirm us. Not based on our current situation, not based on how wonderful and lovely our Christian life looks or how successful we are. No, God wants to affirm us because of who we are, or rather because of whose we are, because we belong to him, because we are God's children. So to conclude, it's about relationship. It's about our relationship with God. It's about the things he's doing in our lives and the things that we're doing to connect with him and make him a reality in our lives. It's about identity. It's about who we are, knowing who we are in God. It's about dealing with our false expectations, maybe of the things we expected our Christian life to look like, and being honest about how our Christian life actually is. It's about facing up to our current reality, to know that God is with us in exactly how our life is now. The reality of how things will feel tomorrow morning, or in the middle of the night, or whenever it is that things feel the hardest. Knowing that God is with us in those moments. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your relationship with John the Baptizer. We thank you that when John was in the midst of doubts and questions, when he was at the lowest point in prison, when John was hoping perhaps that he would be by your side in ministry, seeing the kingdom come, seeing those amazing healings and miracles, that actually his reality is that he was far from that. He was in prison. He was in a bad place, a dark place. And out of that dark place came John's question to say, Jesus, are you really who you say you are? And we thank you, Jesus, for your response to say the kingdom is coming. The good news is being preached to the poor. People are being healed. The dead are being raised. And we thank you, Jesus, that throughout the world, lives are changing because you are on the move. We thank you for the way that you've moved in our lives in the past. But Lord, we look to the future. And we know that you are the God of the future, but also the God of our present reality. And even if we feel far from you, you are still the Messiah and the kingdom is still coming. That even if we're full of questions and doubts, you are still the Messiah and the kingdom is still coming. Lord, help us to know this reality. Help us to know your Holy Spirit at work in our lives, to know your purposes, your provision, your plans and your purposes. But also help us to know that we need to do our bit, that it's about relationship and connection with you. Lord Jesus, come to us now. Speak into our doubts and questions. Bring your life and your love and your presence. Come, Lord Jesus. And may your reality be in the midst of our reality. May your light shine in our darkness. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.